Turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. I have a new Bible and it won't stay on the platform. Stay. It's slick. The cover must be slick. All right. I'll preach with my Bible in my hand this morning. Proverbs chapter 15, please. Beginning in verse 13, we're going to read through verse 23. It says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great trouble, than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. The way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, and in the multitude of counselors they are established. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and for the opportunity to read and study and look into this book. And I pray that through the working of your Holy Spirit, you'll help us to understand the lesson that you have for us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, let me begin this morning by saying this. Sometimes it's hard to figure out women. I thought I might get an amen or two there. Living in a house with five women, Nate and I know that much. Women are sometimes hard to figure out. When you think you've got them figured out, they surprise you with something new. When a man comes home and his wife is in tears and he tries to be compassionate and caring and he says, "What's the matter, honey?" And her response is, "Well, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you." Sometimes you just can't figure them out. But this morning, I'm going to attempt to give an insight into the mind of a wife and mother. Why? In order to help us dads on Father's Day. And I want you to consider, what does a mother want in her children's father? And what can we as men do to be better fathers and husbands? What can we do to make our wives happier and our families better? Well, I want us to look carefully at this passage here in Proverbs chapter 15 and consider, what does mom want to see in a dad? And I got six things I want to point out to you this morning very quickly. First of all, Laughter. Look at the beginning of verse 13. It says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance." And then look at the end of verse 15. It says, "He that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." Let me tell you this. The home should be a fun place to be. Too often there's too much tension in the home, and that is not good. God has given us the gift of laughter to make the home a place to be enjoyed. You know, laughter is considered good medicine. If you turn over, we'll be coming back to 15, but look at chapter 17 for a moment and verse 22. Verse 22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Laughter's good. Laughter relieves tension. Did you know it's a medical fact that when you laugh, you release chemical enzymes in the brain, which is important to the health of almost every one of your vital organs. It exercises our vital organs. It relaxes the tissues. It reduces tension. And it also makes for a fun place to be. You see, laughter, a merry heart, is not only a good medicine for you personally, but it's good medicine for your home. It's good medicine for your home. And so, dads, lighten up. Lighten up. Now, there is a time for discipline, and there is a time for seriousness. I realize that not everything is fun and games, right? But that seriousness doesn't have to extend to 24 hours a day. So, lighten up and learn to laugh. Mom wants a home that is filled with joy, She wants a man who believes in having a good time with his wife and kids and who makes home a pleasant, joyful, and happy place to be. So there's number one. Number two, what does mom want to see in a dad? She wants to see someone who will listen. If you go back to chapter 15, look at verse 14. Notice it says, the heart of him that hath understanding, notice, seeketh knowledge. Guys, let me tell you something. You are never too old to learn. You can learn. You can learn new things that can be a blessing and a help to your family. And you know how you learn? You learn by listening. You learn by listening, by actually seeking out and showing an interest in and paying attention to and listening to what others have to say. And that is true in your relationship with God, but it's also true in your relationship with those you love. The truth is, you're never too old to learn, and you need to learn by listening. In James 1:19, we read, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." And, you know, we read there in verse 14 where it talks about someone having the mouth of fools, the mouth of fools. And sometimes we do have that. How do we have that? By putting our foot in our mouth and by talking when we should be listening. Dad, let me give you this very simple piece of advice that I trust will help you. Don't ever be too busy to listen to your wife and kids. Don't ever be too busy to listen to your wife and kids. Because if you are, you won't understand your wife and kids. And so that's what she needs. She needs a listening ear. And I fully understand that listening is hard work. Because we have to focus on the person speaking. Too often, we get focused on our problems and our worries. And we focus on ourselves, and we don't really listen to our wife and kids. One of the biggest complaints that women have is that their husbands don't listen to them enough. Now, a word to the wives. Women need to learn when to talk to their husbands. Can I give you a little insight? During the Super Bowl is not a good time to talk about your problems with your husband. Choose the best time to have a listening ear. Don't just blurt out what's on your mind at the most inopportune times. But at the same time, men need to be more aware of their wife and children's desire to talk to them. And they need to stop and they need to listen. You know, there's good advice for men over in chapter 18, verse 23. Look, verse 13. Look over there. Chapter 18, verse 13. It says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. You know what that means? It means this. Put your brain in gear before you put your mouth in motion. Put your brain in gear before you put your mouth in motion. God, remember this, God gave you two ears and one mouth. I think that might mean that he wants you to listen twice as much as you talk. And that's what moms are looking for in a dad. Someone who will listen. Someone who will listen. Now, number three. Number three has to do with what we'll call livelihood. If you go back to chapter 15 again, look at verses 15 and 16. No, rather 16 and 17, excuse me. It says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. If you want a happy home, live within your means. Financial stress will kill the spirit of your home. Dad, it is your responsibility to make sure that you don't get caught on the treadmill of materialism. I want you to think about, and by the way, that's true even if you're not the one who you know, keeps the checkbook and pays the bills. It's still your responsibility. I want you to think of what Jesus said in Luke 12, 15. He said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Let me tell you something, guys. Let me tell you something about your wife. She would rather have less and be happy than have more and be in huge indebtedness and be miserable. And the key is to be content in what you have and to avoid covetousness. You need to be satisfied with what you can afford. That's 15 and 16. Again, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about contentment. And the Bible says a lot about contentment. For instance, in Philippians 4:11, Paul writes, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. And then let me just read to you a passage from 1 Timothy chapter 6. We won't make you turn there, but I'll read it to you. Verses 6 through 9. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and in many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And so we want to be content. We want to be content with what we have. When I was growing up, my pastor, Pastor Walter Lanigan, he was Betty's cousin. Was it cousin, Betty? Cousin. I remember he used to say all the time, and I don't think this was new to him, but he used to say, "I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer." That's absolutely true, right? You can't take things with you. So don't build your life and your home around things. Be content. How many remember the old Carnation evaporated milk commercial where they said that the milk came from contented cows? You remember those commercials? The contented cows, as if contented cows gave better milk. But the truth is, contentment isn't confined to cows. Contentment is one of the keys to a happy, healthy home. A happy, healthy home. Now, number four. What does mom want to see in a dad? Love. Love. Look at verse 18 back here in Proverbs chapter 15. Look at verse 18. It says, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." And along those same lines, I want you to consider what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, 4, where he says, "Charity," that is love, "suffereth long and is kind." Love isn't getting in the last word in an argument, unless it's the word, "yes, dear." love means controlling your tongue. Love means that you watch your word. You've got to, again, remember to listen. When you get angry, guys, just remember two important words. When you get angry, you need to say these words to yourself over and over again. Now, do not say them to your wife. Say them to yourself over and over again when you get angry. Two simple words. Shut up. Shut up. You do that until you can speak peaceably and lovingly. Ephesians 4:26, "Be ye angry and sin not." I don't know, why do we think that the loudest person always wins? Or we sometimes think that the one with the most sarcasm and insults wins. But look at what chapter 15, verse 1 says. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." We need to control our mouth, and you can do that. I can prove that to you. Have you ever done this? You're having a heated discussion with your wife and kids, and it's getting loud. And the phone rings. And you answer it, and immediately your demeanor goes from to "hello." You know what that proves? You can control your mouth. You can control your mouth. Guys, that's what a woman wants in a man. A husband and father who speaks in a loving way to her and your children. And then number five. What mom looking for in a dad? Someone who will lead. Someone who will lead. Back in chapter 15, look at verse 19. It says, "The way of the slothful man is an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain." Now, along with that, I want you to consider Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, where it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." And so women want a husband who will take the bull by the horns and be the leader in the home and not be slothful about it. A woman wants a husband who will be the leader in the home, who will take responsibility and will assume the authority in the home. Why? Because God has placed the responsibility for the home in the hands of the husband and father. It's that simple. Guys, when you get to heaven, God will hold you accountable for your home. Whether you took responsibility or not, he's still going to hold you accountable. And you know, maybe you have the idea that, you know, you work to provide the paycheck, but your wife is in charge of the home. And maybe she is the one who, you know, keeps the home fires burning and keeps the home running smoothly. I say amen to that. Because I'll be honest with you, without Pam, I wouldn't know where I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to do, when I'm supposed to be there, or how I'm supposed to dress for the occasion. And I praise the Lord for the good wife that God has given me to help me. Katie's going to have a hard job the next week filling those shoes, I'll tell you. But the ultimate responsibility for the home falls on the shoulders of the man. So what does she want in a husband and a father? She wants you to be a leader in the home. A leader in the home. But ladies, let me say this. You need to let him be the leader in the home. You need to make it easier for him to be the head of the house, the leader of the pack. I can tell you, I've been in this ministry thing 1979, I started pastoring. I've been in this thing a long time. And I can tell you this. A henpecked husband won't be the leader that God has called him to be. He just won't. It won't happen. But the important thing for the men this morning is to remember what it says there in verse 19 about not being slothful. Don't be slothful in your leadership. Be the righteous leader in the home that God and your wife and your kids want you to be. And then finally, number 6, what do moms want to see in a dad? They want to see someone who is willing to learn, willing to learn. Look at verses 21 to 23 again of chapter 15. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Without counsel, that is seeking advice, without learning things, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Guys, I got news for you. We don't know everything. We don't know everything. And an old dog can still learn some new tricks. Our wives know a lot more than I think we give them credit for. Women have been given a spirit of discernment that men often lack. They often have a keener insight and intuition about certain things. I had that happen not too long ago in my home. Pam told me something, and my immediate response was, no, that can't be true. That can't be happening. And a short time thereafter, I found out she was absolutely right. She was absolutely right. Women have this thing called a women's tuition. I don't understand how it works. Sometimes it's very spooky, but I believe it's a gift from God. I really do believe it's a gift from God. And so, you know, learn to lean, gentlemen, on the counsel and advice and wisdom of your wife. There's safety, the Bible says, in the multitude of counselors. Let your wife contribute. Let her be one of your most trusted and important counselor. She's so much smarter than you in so many ways. And, you know, you don't know it all. And by the way, everybody else in your family knows you don't know it all. So you might as well know it too, right? A woman wants a husband and father who is willing to learn, willing to grow, willing to seek godly advice. A husband who will confide in her and count her not only as a wife, but a friend and an advisor and a counselor. So we got to learn to work on our problems together.
And we need to learn to attack the problem, not the person. And we need to learn to depend on the Lord for wisdom and guidance and pray about all your problems together. And so we see here that wise King Solomon gives us some good advice on Father's Day. What do moms want in a dad? They want a husband and father who will fill the home with laughter and bring joy to the marriage and family. Mom wants a husband and father who is never too busy to listen to his wife and children. She wants a husband and father who is content with living within his means. She wants a husband and father who will love his wife and children by controlling his temper and his words. She wants a husband and father who will be a leader in the home, leading his family in God's ways. And she's looking for a husband and father who is not so set in his ways that he can't learn anything. And she's looking for a husband and father who will lean on his helpmate for advice and counsel. And gentlemen, as your pastor, my prayer is that you will take these principles from the Word of God and make practical application of them to your relationship with your wife and your kids, so God can bless your home, so God can bless your family, so God can bless your marriage. And then let me end this morning by reminding you of something very important. None of these blessings in your home and your marriage are going to happen if you don't have Jesus as the center of your life and your home. In your marriage, He is to be the solid rock that you build your life upon, and He is to be the solid rock that you build your home upon. He is the only trustworthy foundation. I'll leave you with words of the Apostle Paul from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. As the old hymn says, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God this morning.